desire your prayers tonight. Have a little thought I want to share. Have written on the board, God's design. And there's a lot of things we could talk about tonight, and because that's a massive subject. But I want to first just cover a few things that I think we can all relate to understand where I'm coming from here. We'll just ask the question. You don't have to answer, but I think in your mind you'll think of several things. But over the last several years, of course, it's going to depend on how old you are as to how you're going to relate to this. But over the years, have you seen designs of things made by man that in their attempt to improve it, it actually diminishes the quality? You understand my question or my observation? I'll put it that way. It's a question too, but no doubt we can all think of many things, and I'll give you some examples. There are many things, and maybe part of it's just because of my career, I've been involved in design in different ways and manufacturing, so I'm more alert to some of those things. But, you know, I remember years ago, some of the old vehicles we had around when I was just a little child, they were very sturdy. We'll just put it that way. Very thick metal, and they were just stout vehicles. And in many ways, I mean, you could bump into something and wouldn't hardly dent it. I mean, it was like, but nowadays, you can lean against a vehicle, just lean against it, and you're going to dent it if you're not careful. I mean, little things like that. Now, I understand there's some reasons for that. It's for gas economy. You know, I get it. I mean, they try to lighten them up, and they've actually improved the crash tests, you know, where it's actually, some of the vehicles are a lot safer than they used to be. But yet, there's just a lot of things there's some things where you just kind of have to scratch your head at a little bit, where a lot of things are just made disposable. I think you know what I'm talking about, whether it's printers, other types of electronic devices, you know, where used to they were built very sturdy and very rugged, that could last for years, and nowadays it's like every few months or every year or two, you just throw them away and you just buy something new. So there's a lot of things considering design. And I guess my focus on that part is sometimes we get very disappointed. And I'm going to go down another little path here. Even when it comes to the food industry, have you noticed that there are certain things that maybe you've ordered for different times? You go to a restaurant, specifically if you go through a drive-thru restaurant or something, fast food. Have you noticed that the size of the sandwiches continue to get smaller? Same price, but they get smaller. And just different things like that over the years. And it's like, okay. And other things, they'll change, whether it's other food items you buy at the store, they'll change the size or the ounces and change the price, and ultimately they're trying to, I'll just put it in my term, trying to confuse you, where you think you're getting a better deal and you're really not. And in the end, then they remove one size totally and they bring in another. I'm like, what's... Anyway, it's about making money. And I remember one of the jobs I had, I understand what happens. You design a particular product and it's a very good product and everyone buys it and they like it. Everyone makes money. Everyone's happy. But within a year or two, they want to make some more money. And the big retailers will say, hey, we want more profit out of this. You need to cheapen it up. You need to, or drop your price. The only way to drop your price is you have to cheapen it up. So it's thinner material, less quality material, and the list goes on. And maybe drops the price a little bit, but the quality's much less, and it just continues down that path. But you know, when it comes to spiritual things, you know what I've found with God's design is anything to do with God, it only gets better. When He's in the middle of it, and when you allow Him to be in charge of it, where He's the one calling the shots, He's the one having input and an opinion on how something should be done, things only get better. Things don't get cheapened up, and we don't get disappointed. It's the exact opposite. So there's a little story that I want to cover here tonight. A familiar story in the book of Acts. And this is in the 5th chapter. And in this story, we have the apostles and disciples. The church is growing. It's after the day of Pentecost. And they're out doing things, promoting the gospel. And God's design was, to begin with, that it would grow. And it did. Yeah, after the day of Pentecost was the start of it, but it didn't stop. And God, His power and influence through the Holy Spirit in their lives was greatly effective. And to prove the point, I want to read a few scriptures here. In Acts, the 5th chapter, and verse 12, we'll start. It says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that the least of the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities." It goes on, we'll get to that part here in a little bit. Well, we'll go ahead and read this, verse 16, I'm sorry. "And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." So we consider what's going on here. This is something that is actually getting better. This is actually more attractive. This is something that's working. This is something that's truly meeting the needs of the people. And it's attractive. People are coming in and it's growing, the multitudes, and God is moving. And it's wonderful to see this. And, you know, how many times have we noticed, perhaps in our own lives or just looking down through history, that any time there is a movement of God and a stirring among God's people and there's a growth, that the enemy loves to come along and attack that. Whether it's personal growth or collectively, it doesn't matter. How many times have we seen that? Even as just considering even at Monarch, you know, I've seen where it's like God is moving in a service and maybe services or, you know, in a series or whatever. And all of a sudden something happens and it seems like it just kind of quenches a spirit. I'm like, what's going on here? The enemy doesn't like it. He's going to try everything he can, any little things, just to try to alter or to change God's design, okay? Try to affect it in a negative sense. But you know what I've also found? In the end, just in my short lifetime, in the end, God always wins. It doesn't look like it. It may not appear that way. And here we find, with these apostles, Satan was not happy. And he was going to do what he could to squelch this growth. And these wonderful deeds that were being done, people being healed of their sicknesses and diseases. So here we find in verse 17, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." There we go. They didn't like it. So here we have man's design, what we're fixing to read here, man's design versus God's design. And it's going to appear that man's design would conquer. But in the end, God is the one. His design was the superior design, was the superior plan for his people and for all mankind. And here we have the high priests, and they rose up with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Like, okay, we're going to take care of this. We're just going to throw you in prison. No one's going to get healed now. But you know what? They couldn't stop, first of all, they couldn't stop their love for God. They couldn't stop their prayers. Think about that. They couldn't stop the prayers of their families and their loved ones that weren't in prison. They couldn't stop God's hand moving upon, notice what happens here, verse 19. But the angel of the Lord, by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. That was God's design. But you think about it, God allowed this. So you could say it this way. God allowed perhaps Satan to oppose them through the hands of the priests and the Sadducees here. But God's design was not to destroy the apostles. It was only to show his design was superior. His power was superior to what anything man could do. So here we have. All right, we'll throw you in prison. Mission accomplished. Can't do any of that anymore. And God's like, oh yeah? Watch this. A little contest going on. Let's see whose design, whose power is the greatest. So they go out. It says, when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest, here we come again. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the sin of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted them whereunto this would grow. Like, okay. Then it goes on. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. How did that happen? The design of that prison just wasn't sufficient for the God that the apostles served. That was the answer. And you think about that. So many things that mankind, they, in their own strength, in their own abilities, in their own craftiness, in their subtle ways, and all their evil, wicked devices and plans and ulterior motives and all those things, just to try to squelch and put out the fire of God in the souls of men and women. And they try so hard, so many times, but they can't do it. And here it is. The very ones out there preaching again. It says, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Ooh, don't you know that cut them to the core? But it's so true. And you think about this. Even our nation today, there are things that are moving in the powers that be to try to bring fear and intimidation upon God-fearing people. So many things. And you think about this. Just consider our schools, for example. It took prayer out of schools, and that was something. In fact, there was a time where prayer and Bible stories and lessons were part of the school curriculum. In fact, some of the major universities, Harvard and Yale, they were Christian founded. They really were. Go search it out. And now they're the extreme opposite. That's man's design, by the way. And there are other things, other movements that can be proven by records and statistics and writings and all kinds of things that through the course of time, back in the 60s, 70s, they began a movement to promote homosexuality. And they said, you know what? The best way is just start, well, one thing, take prayer out of schools. And it's going to take some time. Some of the leaders, and there were some secret writings that were uncovered over time, where they said, we'll be patient, give us some time, but we're going to change this nation. And we want to get into the schools. We want to get into the curriculum and try to alter some of the basic truths. And, of course, taking prayer out of schools and so on. But so many things. But their plan was to allow this to be promoted. And now it is promoted. And it is accepted by some. But again, it's man's design. And we can step back and think, well, this looks hopeless. And in many ways, and there's so many other things. We could talk about abortion. You could talk about marriage and divorce, the rise in that. It's so many things. It's just, and you can see where Satan is doing his best to almost like tighten the noose and to bring more fear and intimidation. That if you dare stand for God, if you dare claim the truth of His Word, we're going to take you out. You understand what I'm saying? The fear and intimidation. It's a modern form of persecution is what I call it. And many have been ridiculed and eliminated from positions because of a stance they took for the Lord. And so many other things. But again, it's man's design. Okay? And so going back into this story here, you see the same powers were at work against the apostles. Okay? And so here we have, says Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You can make all the rules you want. In the end, we answer to God before we answer to you. In other words, God is the supreme authority. God's the one that gave you the position, you know, beside, we answer to God. Well, verse 30, he says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Peter's getting pretty bold. He's just telling them like it is. And they know it. Okay. He says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Notice what it says here, verse 33. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Like, okay, you're going to talk that way? We're going to do more than put you in prison. We're going to put you to death. Verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. So here we have one that's observing all of this. And I believe God put in his heart to do this. It's Gamaliel. He's a Pharisee. He's observing all this. He remembered, he knew what all took place with Jesus. So he's saying, give them a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. So he's given an example of someone that tried to do what these true men of God were accused of doing. But he was doing it in his own strength, his own design, his own plan, his own way. And it failed. failed miserably. So he's saying, and after this rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. He gave it another example. He failed too. So he says here, verse 38, this is Gamaliel talking. He says, now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. He's saying, just give us some time. The true colors will show. The true spirit of this will be made known. And let's just see what happens. If it's of man, it'll come to naught. Just like these other two we witnessed. But verse 39, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Thank the Lord. Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. What a powerful statement. He got it. This is a Pharisee. But even he was convinced that you can't fight against God. He remembered that these very men of God were in prison just prior to this. And how did they get out? God. And he said again, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. In other words, if it's something that God has designed, something God has put in place, God has instituted, you can't do anything against it. You can do your best, but you're going to fail. He said, if it be of man, it'll fail on its own. You know, what powerful advice and wisdom God gave him at that moment. And it goes on here. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And notice what happens here. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. You know what that tells me? This thing was of God, and there was nothing that Satan could do. Oh, he tried, and he did. Things he tried to do against it. Of course, we all know. Many times, the church was persecuted, but they couldn't put it out. They could not stop it because it was designed by God. He's the one that put it in motion, and he's the one that was the continual source of power and energy and grace, everything necessary to keep that maintained. And there was, you could say it this way. Have you ever built a fire? And even just a brush fire or whatever. But I remember not too long ago, I tried to build one, and the conditions weren't right. It was too damp, and just anyway. But you notice when you build a fire, and if it's the right conditions, you add a little bit of wind to it to keep the air going, and even in a fireplace or in a wood stove, you crack that open, allow a little bit of air, and boy, it'll just take off. It's like it'll just go crazy. So it's as if God was adding the fuel and the air and the oxygen to this fire that was burning within these apostles and these early believers that there was nothing Satan could do. He's like, I'm going to try this. He was desperate. He was trying everything he could, but it was just spreading literally like wildfire. It was God's design. Satan couldn't stop it. God put it in motion and kept it in motion. And I want to give note here of something. See if I can find it here. This was in the time of when the during the time of persecution. The Catholic Church, early church, persecuting the true church. And as time went on, they tried different ways, especially when the Bible was being printed. in latter years, they were trying to figure out ways to limit that. I want to read you a quote that this is during the time of Queen Mary, of what she said. She said, "If we do not put down this printing, it will put us down." And basically, they labored to put down the printing, but they couldn't. And it was authorized by God. It was designed by God. It was fueled by God, the love of God and His truth. And ultimately, the more it was printed, the more exposed the wickedness of those that were in power. See what I'm saying? The more knowledge then people were gaining, the common people, of what was really being hidden from them. And it only multiplied the number of New Testaments that were printed. And so it proved true what Queen Mary said. But again, it was of God. And you consider, there's many other examples we won't bring out tonight, but we could say it this way. If you go by God's design, you'll live and you'll prosper. If you go by your design, or our design, man's design, ultimately the devil's, you'll fail every time. Maybe not immediately, but like Gamaliel said, give it some time. Just give it some time. And you think about it, anything that man has designed or instituted or put in motion on their own, just think about this. It has ultimately failed every time. Remember, just another quick example. Remember the Titanic? Remember what the captain of that ship said? "Even God can't sink this." That was way too bold of a statement, a foolish statement. And God's thinking, and who made the water? Who made the icebergs? Who made the steel to begin with, the iron ore? Yeah, man kind of put these things together and built this amazing ship. It was amazing, but it was sinkable. And God sunk it. You know, it's amazing how mankind, well, you know what the scripture says, pride cometh before the fall. But you know, when we also think of the scripture that talks about that if we throw ourselves, help me out here, against the stone, we'll be broken. But if a stone fall on us, it will grind us to powder. You know, you think about this. God's design is He wants us to voluntarily break ourselves on Him, that He may make something beautiful, that we humble ourselves down and allow His design to make a vessel unto honor, to mold us into shape us to something that is usable and workable in His hands. But how many times do you see people try to make their own vessel, put their own little unique designs in it, their own little whatever, to make it look pretty, to make it useful how they want to use it? And how many times that vessel ends up falling apart and is destroyed and cannot be used. It fails because it's of man. But when it's of God, it works. And the proof of that is it blesses the souls of man. And that's exactly what happened with the early church here in Acts. It only fueled the fire. Satan tried so many ways. But says, no, they went daily into the temple, into every house, and ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You know what's happening today? Tonight? This is a continuation of what they started. And you know what? It's not my design, and it's not your design. This is God's design. It's His Word. It's His church. It's His gospel. It's His salvation for the souls of man. And Satan, come what may, though everything he tries, every onslaught of the enemy, it may appear that we may be defeated at times. But in the end, God always wins. And time again throughout the scriptures and throughout history, and even our individual experiences, God's design is the best design. And the amazing thing is, it only gets better with time. You pray for me, I'll be faithful to Him.